Good morning, everyone. It's really good to welcome you this morning, particularly if you're visiting us. I hope you feel a really warm and special welcome here at Felix the Salvation Army. It's my privilege this morning to introduce our special guest. Major Helen Schofield is our Territorial Youth and Children's Secretary for the UK and Northern Ireland. So that means she's in charge of our strategy and our vision for youth work and children's work across this nation. No pressure, Helen. But Helen's a great, great person who's working really hard in that role at National Headquarters in London and has also worked on the college and previous to that was also a Divisional Youth Officer in the South West Division. So brings great pedigree to us today. I'm building her up really well, aren't I? She's sitting there going, oh no. But I'm sure you would really like to join me in welcoming her this morning to Felixstowe. Let's give her a really warm welcome as she leads us this morning.
Good morning. Well, thanks, Simon, for that massive build-up. You know, it's like downhill from here, isn't it? So, you know, I apologise if something goes wrong. But it's great to be with you. When Simon sent through some dates said, you know, is there any chance you can come on any of these dates? And I saw December the 1st, and I thought, I can do that. What a beautiful Sunday to come and share and worship together. To actually come to the throne of grace at the start of Advent, and when we think about God's hope for us. And before we sing our opening song, we're just going to watch a video that just speaks about Advent hope. Thank you. What a prayer. We will bring the hope of Jesus to the world. That's us in this building. That's what our responsibility is. Those of us who are loving Jesus, are declaring that we follow him. Part of that comes a great responsibility that we go out into the world, into the places where we are, Monday to Saturday, to bring the hope of Jesus into this world. To bring the hope of Jesus into this world. And I pray that as you've come to share in worship this morning, that as you've come to be in fellowship together, but actually out of that, you'll be encouraged, you will be challenged, you might even be disturbed because you need to go out and to actually take the hope of Jesus into this world today. We're going to sing a great song together. If you're using a Salvation Army songbook, the words are coming on the screen. And it's song 104. I realise straight away I've caused confusion to most people because the tune is different from what we would normally sing. But if you were to think, when you heard the opening tune at the start of worship, but when you think about these words, for me, these are far more reflective words than they are happy, clappy words. They're beautiful words. Come, thy long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free From our fears and sins releases, let us find our rest in thee. There are words of intercession. There are words of probably even crying out to God, come into this world where we are right now. I live in London. And on Friday, London yet again was in turmoil. And London felt very dark and felt very unsafe, really. And I was going on to a school. And I arrived at the school to be told the school was in lockdown because of what happened at London Bridge. And thankfully, those young people in that school at that moment didn't know that. They just, well, they didn't have a clue. And thankfully, all that was lifted by the time they were due to go home. But that idea of what happens within our cities, within our towns and our communities, the world at times feels very dark, doesn't it? And actually, we pray again and again, come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Let us stand. We're singing two verses together to the tune of Burning, Burning. And let's just make this prayer of intercession right now. Thank you. Please take your seats. We're going to go into that time of reflection when we come to light our Advent candle, and Simon and Annette are going to lead us through that time right now.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world.
Today is Advent Sunday. Advent means preparation for the coming of Christ. One of the most beautiful traditions of Advent is the lighting of the Advent wreath. The wreath is covered with evergreen, just as this particular species of tree is always green, so it speaks of our hope of everlasting life in Christ.
The wreath is also in the form of a circle. A circle has no beginning and no end. Our life with God is everlasting, beginning always, now. The Advent candles are symbolic of the coming of Jesus, the living light of the world.
He is the light that broke forth on the world on that first Christmas when he was born as the Prince of Peace. He is the light that gradually penetrated into all of the world.
The traditional act of lighting one more candle each week on the Advent wreath tells of the increasingly brighter light of his coming and leads gradually to the blaze of light at the dawning of Christmas.
Lord, please come again into our world and let your light shine. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, Master of both the light and the darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon our preparations for Christmas. We who have so much to do seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And as we just continue in that act of reflection, we're going to just sing a very simple chorus together. I'm hoping you know it. It's a Doug Hawley chorus which speaks about, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So I'm hoping people do know this, or you're going to get a solo from each foot, which might not be a blessing. Let's try this together. Our Father God, I thank you that we can put our hope in you. When at times our lives feel chaotic, when we feel like, oh gosh, what on earth is happening? We can be still and we can put our hope in you and we can put our trust in you. And Lord, I pray that this day, as we share in this time of worship together, we have those moments where you yet again speak your peace into our lives, where you speak your reassurance, where you remind us again of how faithful you are. And so our hope is in you. Lord, I pray that this day we hear your voice. We hear you speaking to us in ways perhaps we've never expected. And I pray, Lord, when we leave this place, we go out probably differently to how we came in. Because by sharing and corporate worship together, we've encountered you in a new and a fresh way. Father, we do bring to you those situations that are just in utter turmoil in this world of ours. And Father, we sometimes just can't comprehend all that takes place. But Father, I pray amidst all that turmoil that people get a glimpse of you, and a glimpse of your peace in their hearts and lives. I pray, Father, in the situations that we face personally, amongst friends, amongst family, amongst our work situations, I pray that in those places we are the people that you need us to be. Father, thank you for the privilege that is ours to be here this day. May we never take this for granted. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to listen to the ministry from the songsters right now. Thank you. Thank you, songsters, and the Bible reading follows on very well from that when it's John chapter 1 and it says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. We're going to look at some, not all of that reading later, because you could spend a whole year, I reckon, just looking at John 1, chapter verses 1 to 14, but just part of that reading later in our worship. Okay, I need a little bit of help from people who are probably under 14 years of age. Anybody? Might help if I press the correct button, really. Okay, no? Hello? Hi, shall we go on to here so people can see you? That's really important, isn't it? I'm going to sit down here. How's that? Then the adults can't. Oh, one or two more are coming. Okay. Hi. So let's have some names. Right, my name's Helen.
My name's Matthew.
Okay, all right, let's go down the row. Hello? What's your
name? Christy.
Felicity. Okay, let's pop up on that
one. Isabella.
Isla.
My name's Claire.
Wow, thanks. Thanks, everyone. It's great to see you this morning. All right, so what's happening in a few weeks' time? Any ideas? Snow's going to come. You are living in hope. Love it. Okay, so we've got snow coming in a few weeks' time. Yeah, what happens when it snows? Santa will come as well. So no snow, no Santa. Okay, right. Do you think Santa will come if it doesn't snow? No. Okay, right. Well, okay, well, perhaps we better be praying for snow then, shall we? Yeah, okay. So in a few weeks' time, we've got snow coming, possibly. Okay, and Santa. So have you got some hopes for anything else happening in a few weeks' time?
Break up for school.
Anything else? Okay, so we've got snow, we've got Santa, we're going to break up from school. What else might happen in a few weeks' time? Anyone down that end? No? Okay. Anyone hoping for anything for Christmas? You, are you? Okay. You want some headphones? How old are you? Okay. Headphones. Okay. Anybody else hope? What do you hope for?
A big skateboard.
A big skateboard. Hope poker right in the start. Okay. Anyone else down that end? No, she says. I'm not talking. Well, that's okay. She's not hoping for a bad day, though. She's hoping for a good day. Anyone else? Okay, hope. Hope's interesting, isn't it? What do we hope for? So we've got hoping for snow. We're hoping for Santa. We're hoping that we're going to break up from school. Okay, so school holidays. We're hoping for a giant skateboard. And we're hoping for headphones. Okay. What else could we hope for? What do you think? What would be nice to have?
Could ice skate
as well? Yes, we could. We do a lot of ice skating in Felixstowe.
Oh, yeah, I thought so. Okay. Anything else? What would you think? Okay, so they're present type things and things we could do. See all these people out here. Do you hope that they might have a happy Christmas? Yeah? Yeah? Because they're important things to think about, aren't they? We can think about snow and Santa and toys and all those things. But actually, people being genuinely happy, people actually having peace, they're really important things to hope for. Also, you see all these people, okay, can you see them all? Yeah, everyone? Can you see them? You see all these people, they've got hopes for you, okay? Because there are people who I bet love you, okay, care about you, very interested in you. And I reckon that they would have lots of hopes for you. And obviously the other youngsters that are in this space as well, okay, that you have a real happy life, but actually that you know love beyond measure. I need you to do something for me, okay? Everybody has got a holly leaf, okay? So you guys, you need to go and find people with a holly leaf, and they should have a pen, okay? So you've got to find someone. You need a holly leaf too. And what we're going to do is draw a picture, okay, of the person you go and find on the holly leaf, and they've got to draw a picture of you too, okay? And if you haven't got a young person, because obviously there's these young people around here, but there's a lot more grown-ups here today, isn't there? Wouldn't it be great that on one Sunday there's even more young people than grown-ups, okay? But you need to, adults, you've got to, if you haven't got a young person coming to find you, you've got to draw the person next to you, okay? You've got to draw the person next to you. If you're thinking, there's no way I can do that, you can write their names on your holly leaf, but that's a cop-out, okay? But you guys, you need to go and find an adult, okay? Find a holly leaf and draw a picture of that adult. Is that okay? And we're going to create our own, like, Advent wreath over there. Well, we're not going to put it on the tree because I can't reach that far. That's a bit high up, isn't it? That might look a bit funny, me trying to get up the tree. But see that blank? Oh, we could put them down the bottom, yes. But what we're going to do, you see that blank, boring bit of card there? Do you not think we should stick them all over that? I think so. Oh, good. I'm glad that you think so, because it makes it a lot brighter, doesn't it? Because it's boring at the moment. Is that okay? And we're going to create our own wreath, okay, with people's faces and names on. So you've got to go and find an adult. Adults, you've got to talk to each other and say one thing you hope for, okay? And then we'll gather up the names and the holly leaves and the pictures, and we'll make a picture. Is that okay? Okay, let's go. Go. So we need to do this quite quickly, okay? And then, so either the name, talk to the person next to you, draw the picture, and we're going to just create this image of hope. Move this over here.
Thank you, Singing Company, for your message today. Thank you. We're going to continue in our song worship. We're going to stand and sing together the song Cornerstone. Thank you. Thanks, Ben, for your contribution to our worship. Thank you. We're going to take up our offering right now and listen to the announcements. Thank you.
Lord, we come into this season when we praise you for your gift of Jesus. And this morning again, we do that. But we realize that you give us so much. And so this morning, as we have returned just a little, I pray that you will bless our offering and help us to use it for the extension of your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Tea and coffee will be served in the community hall immediately following our worship this morning. Please stay a while with us. We'd appreciate that. Just after 12 o'clock, The band will be playing carols at the Triangle. And if you'd like to come along and sing, yesterday we played in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. They won't be all there today, but if you come, that'll be one extra. Okay, so just after 12 o'clock. At this very moment, our divisional commander is in session at the appointments conference. Shall we pray? We pray that he will be guided, because, as you know, he has told us he's going to do his best to get the officer he feels is right for our church. So remember him in your prayers today as he's at the DC's conference. This evening at 5:30, there'll be something slightly different in the YP Hall there. There'll be a Chris Dingle service, and you're welcome to come along and join in that. Tomorrow we start our famous Christmas Tree Festival, and I think this year we're up to about 56 trees, and it's very successful, and it brings in hundreds of people in the community into our church. So please, it's very important. So this afternoon, of course, you see we have to demolish the hall and refit it for the tree service. If you're available and you've got any muscle, from 3 o'clock onwards this afternoon, it would be appreciated if we could have your help. And I'm sure we'll get plenty of offers for that. Just to quickly ask you to hold on to your bulletin. It's very precious. It's got so much information for you. But you'll see during next Sunday morning's worship, there will be a toy service, a short toy service. And we'd like you to bring lots of toys, and you'll see a list of the sort of toys for each age group. If you can bring them with you, your gift next Sunday, please don't wrap it up, because it's easier to distribute them to the right children. So unwrap, please. But all the details are there on your brochure and your bulletin. Can I just finally say, the family of late Elsie Buers deeply appreciate your kind expression of sympathy in their time of sorrow. Thank you for your cards and keeping them in your thoughts and prayers. The kindness has helped them during the passing of dear mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. With Christian love, Marion, Sylvia, and Anita. And just finally, one bit of maintenance. You can't please everyone every time. So sometimes the hall is too hot for some and they sweat. Some it's too cold and they put their coats on. If you turn a radiator off, that's no problem. But please turn it on again before you leave, because the next time the heating comes on, it doesn't, because you've turned it off. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Before we open God's word, let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Oh, and please take your seats. And let's just watch the screens just for a few moments. Thank you. Christmas adverts going. I think it's 2011 John Lewis advert, because it takes you by surprise. You think the little boy's waiting for Christmas so he can get all his presents, but no, he wanted to give a gift. I think it's just a great, great advert. Waiting. I don't know how good you are at waiting. Don't know how patient you are at waiting. For some people, they're brilliant at it. For some of us, we're not so good at it. It's a hard place to be, waiting for something to happen, for something to take place. Sometimes that's part of our dreams, aren't they? We have these dreams about life, about we think something's going to happen. I've got this dream, okay? It's one of those dreams. It's not dodgy, so don't worry. I'm not making no public confession, because Simon's just about to make notes, which is really concerning. Okay, it's not a dodgy dream, but it's just one of those, it might never happen. But if it did happen, on a personal front, I quite like it type of dream. Okay, and that dream, my secret dream, is to own a camper van. So people are nodding. There's other people like, yeah, I'd like that dream as well. Some of you remember Alan and Alison Burns, who were, I think, your divisional commanders at one point. They have just retired. And guess what? They've got a camper van, okay? But I know that's been their dream since about the 90s, and they've diligently saved up for that camper van, and I'm very excited for them. But for me personally, I remember once expressing this dream, okay, publicly. You always have that hope that miraculously a camper van will appear. Well, a camper van did appear, but in my next door neighbour's drive, okay? So that's a bit out of order, isn't it? And then, lo and behold, I remember being on the motorway, and suddenly there's a convoy of Volkswagen camper vans. And I then discovered there was some blinking camper van rally that weekend. It was like someone's rubbing salt into my secret dream of owning this camper van. I have occasionally gone out, how much do they cost, walked away, head down, a bit sad because the idea of owning one will just never happen. So I decided to opt for the second best, or it might be about the fifth best, really, of buying a tent. And it was Tesco's, half price. So by the fact it's Tesco's and it was half price, tells you it wasn't really the best tent going. I think you can get these tents now where the poles just blow up or something. It's all a bit fancy, isn't it, really? And I've only ever once camped out in it. I went to New Wine one year, and it rained, and the airbed sort of got deflated, and it was all a bit grim, if I'm honest, and the tent now sits in my loft. And perhaps I might use it one day as an illustration, but might not either. Okay, but I think there is something about pitching your tent. There's something about pitching your tent. And there'll be people here who are avid campers.
who like to pitch their tent, who like to get it all set up. You know what you're doing, and you love the fact that you're there, your tent is established, you're part of the camping community, and rain or shine, you're going to sit outside, and you're going to have your bacon sarnies, and you're going to have your cup of tea. And there's just something about pitching the tent. You're saying, I'm staying. I'm here. I'm in this spot for now. Next year, there's a Salvation Army youth event over in Holland. It's a European youth event, and you'll see adverts around very soon for it. It's going to be amazing, I can tell you that. The only slight drawback is it's camping. And I have to go, which I'm very excited about going, but I too have to camp in 10 bedded tents, which is even more exciting, isn't it? And camper vans aren't allowed even on site, so I can't even hire one. Anyway, you're probably all thinking, what on earth is she prattling on about? And what's this tent and camping got to do with Advent? Because we don't, unless someone's going to like tell me differently, but normally we don't go off on a camping holiday at this time of year, do we? John 1, chapter 14, if you heard earlier, simply said, the word became flesh and blood. And if you look in the Message translation, it says, and moved into our neighborhood. The word, Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. But the literal translation of that actually is, God became flesh and pitched his tent among us. He tabernacled with us. He pitched his tent. God came down from the lofty heights of heaven. He came, moved into our neighborhood. He pitched his tent. He said, I am here. It's that stunning image, isn't it? It blows my mind. Because it wasn't just in the sunniest fields that he came to, or those amazing, beautiful seaside places. But it was in the darkest places, the painful places, that Jesus came and moved into the neighborhood. There's a theologian called Alexander Shire, and he's done a podcast, I think it was with Rob Bell, and it was around this thing called the mythic of Christmas. Okay, but in effect, he talks about the background of Christmas, where it came from. That was, you know, originally it was the winter solstice. He goes into all this, into all, you know, what Christmas actually was. But within that podcast, he speaks about the power of Christmas. And he identifies the fact of Jesus coming into our world as, in effect, he came into the place of deepest dark. And he says this, when we go to the place of the deepest dark, that is where the grace of the fresh radiance will come forth in us. It's by our courage to walk to the place of the deepest dark that grace is reborn. By Jesus coming into our world, our dark world, we experience his grace, don't we? It's in our personal darkness that we experience grace. In the darkness, new life is born. So why does Advent matter? Well, Advent matters because it's our way of keeping our eyes and our hearts and our arms all wide open, even in the midst of our grief and longing, even in the place of our deepest darkness. Because it's in that place that Scripture declares that God is with us. That God is with us. So this whole notion of Jesus coming and moving into our neighborhood or pitching his tent with us is even more powerful when we actually consider the fact he didn't come, did he, as a fully grown man, but he came as this tiny, tiny baby, totally dependent on mankind. Friends of mine have recently had a baby. There's a lot of folk, I feel, that are either due to have a baby or have had babies. But these friends, Ben and Haley, their little boy is called Solomon. And I met him for the first time last week. We were in a cafe, and Haley's one of those mums who unstraps a baby and plonks a baby straight into your arms. There you go, like, you know, gives the baby away sort of thing. And suddenly I'm holding this very tiny baby, this beautiful, vulnerable, tiny baby, totally dependent. Hold that image for a moment. Because when you then think of God, what you think that he's like,
that is almighty, is all powerful, is all knowing. It's mind blowing, isn't it? But Philippians 2, 6 and 7 says, who, being a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The whole concept for me is quite mind-blowing. When we can think about those lists, if we were to draw them up, of the tiny baby and our great God Almighty. The fact that Jesus came to earth for each of us. Our response should be, shouldn't it, to worship, to thank, to actually be in adoration of him. In the film, it's an old film now, Bruce Almighty, there's a song played in there that says, what if God were one of us? And back in the 90s, this was quite a hit single over in the States. It earned 7 Grammy nominations. And it's a song that's of spiritual questioning. And it's about conceiving of God in a modern age. And the chorus says, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us, just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home? And it's reported that when the song was first began playing, radio stations were inundated with calls from listeners who were enamored by the idea that God would become one of us. That God would actually show up on our planet dressed in the frail clothing of our humanity. But he did. He did. He became one of us. And he can identify with us. He can identify with all that we go through, with our humanity. And he left the splendor of heaven to experience the world that we live in. And Jesus identified with the people around him, didn't he? He lived with them. He knew them. He literally, as we said, pitched his tent amongst them. And by doing so, he brought hope into the darkest of places. I suppose a question for us all to consider, and I think it's a really important question, is where is God asking me to pitch my tent? Or, framed differently, where does God need me to be to invest my time to bring hope into sometimes what seem quite homeless places? And not just to bring some hope to someone this Christmas, because that probably seems to, we get a bit, you know, that's what we should do. We should be doing food parcels and being kind to people and trying to smile, etc., and bringing Christmas cheer, you know, but actually throughout the year. If I had a favourite John Gowron song at this time of year, it would be the song, In the Face of a Child. And the chorus says, God is hidden no more. He has spoken his mind, wrapped the gift of his love in the stuff of mankind. Now his nature is known. God is love undefiled. And his love is revealed in the face of a child. They're powerful words, aren't they? They're powerful words. And yes, we know that Gowron's in his writings is referring to the birth of Jesus. You know, the love of God revealed in Jesus. But are they? Are they only referring to the birth of Jesus? Or actually, are they a declaration that the love of God is revealed in the face of a child? That the love of God is revealed in the faces of the young people we encounter every day. That the love of God was revealed in that lovely bunch of youngsters who sat here and the others were sat in the hall. That the love of God is revealed in the lives of the young people who are out there in Sunday school right now. That the love of God is revealed. When I look at the Gospels and Jesus' response to children, I reckon he also believed that the love of God is revealed in the face of a child. Mark 10:14 says, the disciples shooed the children off
but Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very centre of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom and the simplicity of a child, you will never get it. They're strong words, aren't they? Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. But God's love is revealed in the face of a child. The question is, how seriously do we take that? How seriously do we take it? And when you think back to the question of, where is God asking you to pitch your tent? Where is he asking you to place your time to bring hope? I'd ask you to seriously consider that you pitch your tent, you give your time, actually to the area of youth and children's work. You may say, well, you're paid to say that. I am paid to say that. That is what is the appointment the Salvation Army has given me. But can I just say, I've been saying that since I was about 16. But I passionately believe that's what we need to be focusing on. Because there's never been such a greater time that our children and our young people need people in their lives to bring hope. To bring hope, to bring the presence of God, to walk alongside them, to actually invest in their lives. Both within the church and within this church, and also actually in our communities, in our schools, in the places where at times you shake your head and you go, what on earth is happening? Actually, our young people need people to walk alongside them. Research shows that actually, if even one significant adult invests in the life of a young person, their life could be changed dramatically, and the direction of their life could be changed dramatically. And my own testimony is, I was brought up a non-Christian family. Parents, they loved me, but it was chaotic. Life was chaotic. It was a council estate. It was a bit mad, to say the least. And I was sent to Sunday school purely because I was a bit of a nightmare, quite honest. And the lady over the road walked me to Sunday school, to Salvation Army Sunday school. And I stayed, whereas my mates left, I stayed, and I became a Christian at 14. But actually, it was because people invested into my life, and they bothered. And they loved me, and they cared for me, both within the core, but also, I remember the DYS at that time particularly, took me under his wings, and both of them kept bothered about me, but invested. And for me, this whole thing of God with us, those of us who love Jesus, we've got to actually put ourselves in those places where God needs us to be, to invest in the life of others and to care for them, to be with them, to journey with them. Sometimes we invest in the lives of people, the lives of young people, and we go, well, they've not yet found Jesus. But that's okay, because they've encountered something of Jesus' love through what you do and through what you say. Today, this Advent, consider, actually, where is God asking me to put my time? For some of you, it might be you need to volunteer at your local school. It might be even you're going to go and do some reading, to listen to a child read. Can you imagine if you help a child to read? Gosh, their lives turned around, isn't it? Their lives transformed. It may be, actually, I need to give a bit more time in the local church to the youth and children's work. And I make no apology, actually, for being really specific, because actually God laid it on my heart to say this. And I could have said all manner of things about hope. But actually, it was a real thing to say. And actually just to put out that challenge. Where today is God asking you to pitch your tent so you can bring his light, his love, his hope into people's lives? But specifically, pray through about youth and children and actually what God wants you to be doing. And it may just be you're the smiling face on a Sunday morning because you want to encourage them and you want to bless them and you want to build them up. But it may be in a more practical way. You want to do something different. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that your word reveals to us who you are. It reveals to us something of the challenge that you also bring into our lives. Lord, I pause and I say thank you for the fact that you came into our world. You literally moved into the neighborhood. And through you, we have that example of how we can live. Father, I pray for the young people, firstly, of this core. I thank you for them. I thank you that right now people are investing in their lives. And I pray, Lord, you raise up more people to invest in the lives of the young people within this church. But Father, I pray also for the young people in this community. And Lord, there are thousands of them. And I pray, Father, that you raise up people who want to invest in their lives. It may be through volunteering. It may be through just coming alongside them. It may be through encouraging them. It may be through getting involved in schools. But Father, I pray that you raise people up with a heart and a passion to get involved. Father, I pray that this Christmas we again experience the fact that you bring hope into our lives. But actually, when we see the face of a child, we see the fact that your love is revealed and we glimpse more of you. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our final song together. Beautiful song, Love Divine, or Love's Excelling. Thank you.
and a final benediction. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart. Amen. Amen.
Before the band play the final little piece of music, I'd like to say thank you to Major for her leading of our worship this morning, and it's a message that we can really take away with us. Can I also say that I did forget to tell you that Elsie's funeral will be on December the 12th at 1:30 in this hall. December the 12th, 1:30 in this hall. Thank you very much. Thank you, band.